Turn with me, if you will, this morning as we continue in the Gospel of Mark to Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30 this morning. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. The last couple of weeks, we have seen Jesus once again in conflict with the Pharisees and the scribes. Well, that's understandable because their worldview, that is, their unbelief, is always colliding with Jesus's. Jesus's worldview obviously centers around him, his word, the Godhead. And so there's always going to be a conflict there because their worldview, as Jesus has pointed out over and over again, is based in hypocrisy. In every case, Jesus has found himself standing on the opposite side of their falsehoods and their traditions because they have rejected God and rejected God's word. So that's the natural place for him to be, on the opposite side. Over the last 2 weeks, we saw Jesus declare the ceremonial and the dietary laws to be non-binding, which means that all the rabbinical laws that came about over the course of the intertestamental period up to the time that Jesus was in the middle of his ministry, those were all abolished as well. What's called the traditions of the elders, whether you're in Mark, whether you're in Matthew, whether you're in Luke or John, Jesus encounters these continued traditions of the elders that have superseded the word of God itself. Today we will see Jesus now extending his ministry into an area that is considered, once again, taboo for the pious Jew, because he determines now to bless his other sheep, making his mission even clearer and clearer, because his mission not only includes the elect to the Jews, but also his ministry includes the nations, the gospel going to the nations, as he has proclaimed throughout this time. We read in John chapter 10, verse 16, these words, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd." So read with me, if you will, Mark 7, verses 24 through 30. "From there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, 'Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she answered him, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.' And he said to her, 'For this statement you may go away. The demon has left your daughter.' She went home and found that the child was lying in bed and the demon was gone." Father, as we look at your word, we see and hear things that are just so out of the norm for us. And yet in the first century, so much of this is to verify and to authenticate not only your power as the king who has come, but also the truth of your word. Your word said that the king would come to do just these things, and you're doing them in this time. And we thank you, Father, for that. And we pray that we would hear these words and recognize them for the benefit that they are for us today in the 21st century. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you think about it, this is a rather small story in the grand scheme of things on one hand. But on the other hand, we begin to see Jesus' ministry begin to expand. And this ministry, especially to Gentiles, is going to really be in conflict with the elders. If there wasn't enough conflict already after declaring the ceremonial and dietary laws non-binding, now we see him, you know, breaching yet another no-no, taboo among the Jews. A major one, if you will. For he has declared clean what had been ceremonially unclean up to this point. And now he's declaring that there are those within the Gentile community that can be made clean if they believe and trust in him. They will be saved through his blood and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we will see a desperate plea by a mother for her child. Then we'll see what appears to be a strange reply from Jesus. And then we'll see a believer's response and God's blessing. So let's consider this desperate plea of this mother for her child. If any of us are parents, we've been there. We know what it feels like to want our children to be healed above all things. And from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Well, let's think about this for just a few minutes. There's a few things to consider here. Jesus has left, if you will, the promised land. And he's gone into Gentile country. However you want to pronounce it, and Sidon are all and completely, for the most part, Gentile. No self-respecting Jew, especially a rabbi, would be found dead there. We know that even Samaria, which was a mixed group of people from Jews and Greeks, they would go around Samaria to go to the north side of that because, you know, good Jews don't get mixed up in that kind of uncleanness. After all, Gentiles are dogs to the Jews. But he didn't just go into this Gentile country. We see that he actually goes into a Gentile home. Another major no-no for a pious Jew or a rabbi. Then he has an audience with a Gentile woman about a Gentile daughter. He is just eating up this Gentile stuff. But this mother comes and she begs. The word pleads here is the word beg, as they have in the ESV, but many of your translations say pleads. Begged in the sense of she begged over and over and over and over again. It's a perfect tense. Because she was that desperate. She came and she fell down at his feet. An act of complete submission before a superior. An act of submission towards one who's due great respect. Now, we've seen this before. The man called Legion, who had hundreds, maybe thousands of evil spirits, came and fell down and worshiped at Jesus' feet in order to be healed. We saw the father, Jairus, who was concerned about his daughter, whether she would live or die, and he came and fell down at Jesus' feet. And then we have the woman with the issue of blood. She did the same thing. She came down and bowed before him. Bowed in humility before Jesus. Now that was unusual, especially for a Gentile to do that. And if the Pharisees would have seen those other ones, because you remember they just kind of show up wherever Jesus is. And they would have been disgusted by that. And if they had been here, which of course they wouldn't have been, but if they'd been here, they would have really been disgusted to see how this woman probably actually, when she bowed before him, would have put her hands on his feet. A Gentile touching a Jew, that's a major no-no. Why do I say that? The average Jew, the average rabbi, would pray this prayer every morning. Thank you, Lord, that I was not born a Gentile or a woman. The two classifications that they had no desire to have any connection with. And what was the original command that God gave to his people? To be a blessing to the nations. And they had chosen not to follow God's word. You know, if the woman had come asking for a son, maybe that wouldn't have been so bad. But she was asking for her daughter. And the Jews would have seen that as a double no-no. But some people ask, why did Jesus go there in the first place? It's amazing the number of theories that you can read on why Jesus would go into this area. Tyre was basically 20 miles from Capernaum. Sidon was about 50 miles from Capernaum, Capernaum being his central location, his HQ, if you will. It's not just a regular day's walk. So he had to go there with purpose. Well, most people say, well, he went there to rest. Well, there's that possibility. But as we saw with Legion, he went to Gennesaret for one reason and one reason only, and that was to heal Legion. So that Legion could do what? So that he could then testify to Jesus in that region. Well, I think the simplest answer to why Jesus went to Gentile country and took the audience of this woman, listened to her begging, and then took care of her daughter was simply because he had come for her. That was why he was there. Because Jesus' people, God's people, will never be left behind. They will never be lost, no matter where they are. Never. So Jesus goes to this area purposely for her. And he'd already said he must bring the Gentiles in as well so that there's one flock and one shepherd. The Jews didn't have any problem with Gentiles becoming Jews. The Jews didn't have any problem with the Gentiles being God-fearers. Because if they were just God-fearers without circumcision, they couldn't come into the temple anyway, so we didn't have to worry about them. But we can't sit in the same house. We can't be in the same neighborhood. Even in the into the New Testament, we see in Acts 15 that the Jewish believers were having a hard time worshiping with the Gentile believers. They wanted two separate churches, Jewish believers and Gentile believers. Thank God for his spirit and the wisdom of God's leaders. In Acts 15, we see, though, that's not what's going to happen. We're one flock, one shepherd. We must not be myopic here. Jesus did what he did. He came into this region because that was part of his mission from before the foundation of the earth. He didn't ever do anything by coincidence. He didn't do anything just by accident. He went to this place for this woman so that she could begin to testify on his behalf. Came for this woman and this daughter to restore the dignity which has been taken from them, the dignity that God guaranteed to women from the very beginning. To live as an image bearer of God. It wasn't about being Jew or Gentile. It was about being an image bearer of God, especially for those believers. But the text has this interesting thing. He did not want anyone to know that he was there, yet he could not be hidden. I don't know, every time I read that, I sit there and say, really? This is the same guy that walked through angry crowds, and the angry crowds couldn't find him in the crowd. So if he wanted to hide, he could. Especially in Gentile country. So what's the point? Well, the point boils down to this. He had only come for one reason. It wasn't about healing a ton of people like wherever else he went. It was about healing one woman. And there's a principle here as well. No matter how hard people or governments try to hide Jesus, he cannot be hidden from his people, even in the darkest places. We know this is true. one of the fastest growing churches in America is in one of the worst places in the world called Iran. I mean, one of the fastest growing churches in the world is in Iran, one of the darkest places in the world. His own, as I said before, cannot be lost. Even this one Gentile in Gentile country, who will eventually plant the seeds that the gospel will ultimately grow throughout the Gentile area. We read through the book of Acts and we come across different pockets of believers in different towns that the apostles haven't even been there because seeds have been planted along the way, especially in Jesus' ministry. And those people went and spread the gospel and the church grows naturally. Whether it was from Legion, whether it was from this woman, or whether it was from her daughter years later, or those who heard the story of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, and became Christians, they spread that word, causing the gospel to grow. For all believers, men, women, and children, are given the ability to give testimony, as well as the command to give testimony to what and why we believe. Now we come to this strange saying of Jesus in verse 27, which has caused much consternation. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now some have said that Jesus is trying to make a point. And I agree with that part so far. The point that some say is that he had come to rest and he didn't want to be bothered by anybody. But he threw this woman a bone like he would a household pet, just to get her out of his way. Now, of course, that doesn't really match with Jesus' character. And it certainly doesn't match with his mission. Some have said that Jesus wants to make it clear that his first priority is to the lost sheep of Israel, to the elect among the Jews, and not to the Gentiles. It's not my job, is what he's saying here. But again, that doesn't track well with who Jesus is or his mission. In fact, if that was what was going on, then it suggests that this woman understands something more about Jesus' ministry than even his disciples. Because at this point, the disciples are still confused. They're probably still thinking about those loaves, to be sure. They're still confused on who Jesus is. And on top of that, when they get back to Capernaum, can you think of all this? They're going to have to explain why they were in Gentile country, why they were in a Gentile's house, why there was a Gentile woman there, why they were, all those things. They're going to have to explain that. Because they still haven't grasped the purpose of Jesus' mission. They still haven't fully grasped who he is. The simple answer is that Jesus saw this woman and he heard her persistently pleading and begging for her daughter. On top of that, he knew her heart. And God often does with believers what I think he does here with this woman. He often puts us in a place to test our motivations, to test us, to strengthen us, to see how, do we see him as just a miracle worker, or do we see him as the Son of God? But what about this use of the word dog here? Well, if any of you have done your homework, you know it's not the actual curse word that the Jews use. It's a word that actually means household pet or puppy. So he's trying to define or describe the animal with a term of affection. But Jesus is not talking about her. He's trying to make a distinction between his mission. His primary mission is to the lost sheep of Israel. And so he's talking a lot more about distinction of mission rather than distinction a purpose. Think about Paul. His primary mission was as the apostle to the Gentile. And yet, where did he catch most of his flack? Because he kept going to the Jews, to give the word of God to them as well. So he had both those. His primary mission was to the Gentiles, and yet he still went to the Jews as well. So it's a matter of priority for him with his limited time. But would she trust his answer? That his answer was well-meaning, given that he had come at this particular moment. Again, there's no coincidence in Jesus' travel. Tyre, as I said, is so far away. And so he's there at that moment when she needs him the most. Would she capture his meaning? And it seems that she did. Look at her response and God's blessing. But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go away. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Her response shows that she was in no way offended by what Jesus said. She seemed to understand the properness of the priorities that Jesus is speaking of, especially since he used the word first. First. Let the children be fed first. Which she seems to take to say, well, he's still coming for the Gentiles too. The time is fulfilled, so he's here. He's right where he's supposed to be. Where is he? In Gentile country. Speaking to a Gentile woman. Doing exactly what he was called to do at that time. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand for both Jew and Greek elect because Jesus is here now. The next thing will be the expanse of the ministry to the Gentiles. For the Gentiles will be brought in by the apostles for the most part. But seeds are being set from the God who said, "I must bring them in myself," so that that can begin to spread throughout that area. The elect of Israel must be called back to their original command to be a blessing to the nation, which is also Jesus' ministry. He's the one who commanded it. Every nation, tongue, and tribe originally. Just as he said to his disciples that day that he would ascend into heaven, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem. He didn't stop there. To all Judea, to Samaria, another place you don't go, but to the ends of the earth. That's their call. There is no distinction, Jew or Gentile, male or female in that sense. The distinctions are my children. She also seems to have recognized that. And she's happy to receive whatever Jesus gives to her. Even if it's only a little in the sense of the scraps that would go to puppies. Scraps of the truth that she had sought out and believed in. She shows a firm determination of faith to receive whatever Jesus gives to her. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table at the children's eat the children's crumbs." The word of God is going to the elect of the Jews. But what I can receive, I'll be happy with. It's a whole lot better than the alternative. Her trust of and in him was seen. Jesus accepted her response and granted her request. She goes home and discovers her daughter resting quietly without an evil spirit. Matthew gives us a little bit more information concerning this woman. He has Jesus saying, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." She knew that he could meet her needs, and she went to him with great faith. The blessings of the faithful are guaranteed to all who respond to God's irresistible call and trust in him. maybe what we perceive as our greatest need won't be met as quickly as hers was. But of course, our greatest need has been met in our salvation. The crumbs along the way, once again, are better than the alternative. For all of us are like this Gentile woman. Because of the crumbs of the gospel, we believe and trust in Christ. We all start out with milk. We move to soft food and then on to steak if you're lucky enough. But that's the point. We don't all start at steak. She was willing to wait. She was willing to receive whatever she could. Even the crumbs from the table of his children. For the crumbs are like pearls, a pearl of great price. Not something to be swept away, swept up and thrown away. They're for us, they're for our sustenance until the greater comes. And so this is where context is really crucial. You can't lift this story out of this chapter and speak of it all by itself. The Pharisees had said, you have to wash your hands and all your furniture in a certain way in order to be clean enough to come to the temple. They had said, you have to eat these certain foods in a certain way in order to be clean enough to come to the temple. The Pharisees had said, don't ever hang out with Gentiles, because if you do, you'll be ostracized and kicked out of the temple. But Jesus said, all these things are clean. Because I've come and I've fulfilled the law. What's your job? To clean your hands, to clean your clothes, to clean your job is to repent and believe in the gospel. That's the only job you have. That's your command. I command you to do so. Repent and believe, which calls all of his elect forward to himself from every nation, tongue, and tribe here in the Gentile land. This Gentile home, to this Gentile woman healing her Gentile daughter, we see a preview of what lies ahead, of what is to come, the ministry to the gospel to the nations. I think the big takeaway for me in this is if she was happy with the crumbs, why aren't we? Pray with me. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word that continues to remind us you are our God. You are sovereign, but you are also our Father, and you love us so deeply that you sent your Son to die on the cross that we might be saved. And in that salvation, we are saved always that we might look forward to your return. We thank you, Father, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.